My passion is obviously spreading the word about childhood obesity and frankly, all obesity treatment in any age group. The obesity is a chronic disease. And so it's not going away if you don't treat it. And the complications of obesity are most easily reversed the younger you are and the shorter duration you've had the problem.
So whatever ones need to do, they need to take action for sure. Now, sooner rather than later.
But one of the ways I think it really makes an impact is it discourages people from seeking care because they're afraid of what the providers might say or judge them. So I'm really hoping that by getting the word out, we can make obesity care more accessible for all.
And I really encourage your audiences that if you are indeed suffering from this condition, please feel free to seek out help or options that you would have.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Visit our website activeaction.fm for more information and to explore all episodes. Don't forget to check our merchandise for exciting goodies at activeaction.shop. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast, where we bring to you amazing guests on an amazing topic on health, personal and professional development that actually inspires you to stay active and take action. Your response is really helping us to build a podcast and also invite guests that would be valuable to you. Just want to let you know we did start our premium supporters program where if you become one of our premium supporter, you will get access to personal and professional development guides on actionable strategies. To do that, just feel free to visit activeaction.fm/support. We did start our own merchandise. So if you are looking into some cool clothing lines or other goodies, feel free to visit our merch shop at activeaction.shop. Today, we have with us Dr. Evan Nadler, and our topic for today's podcast is childhood obesity treatment is the best obesity prevention. Dr. Evan Nadler is an international leader in the field of child and adolescent obesity. He has served as co-director of the Children's National Obesity Program and director of the Child and Adolescent Weight Loss Journey Program at Children's National Hospital from 2009 until 2023. He was also a tenured associate professor of surgery and pediatrics at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Before moving to Washington, D.C., Dr. Evan was the director of minimally invasive pediatric surgery at the New York University School of Medicine, where he participated in the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved studies using laparoscopic adjustable gastric banding in adolescents with obesity. His current pursuits include pediatric obesity treatment program development, authoring a book on obesity, and his startup company focused on adipocyte signaling via exosomes. Dr. Nadler has authored multiple publication and textbook chapters on the topic of pediatric bariatric surgery, and was one of the founding members of the childhood obesity community of the American Pediatric Surgery Association. Thank you so much, Dr. Nadler, for joining today's podcast. We are very excited to have you and to know from you about childhood obesity and hear your words of wisdom. So would you like to introduce yourself very briefly to our audiences?
Sure. Well, first, I want to thank you for having me, Nassif. It's my pleasure to be here. My passion is obviously spreading the word about childhood obesity and frankly, all obesity treatment in any age group. And you should certainly call me Evan or if you want to, Dr. Evan, but certainly Dr. Nadler is more formal than you need to be. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing weight loss surgery or bariatric surgery or metabolic and bariatric surgery, depending on what you want to call it, for over 20 years, long before the national dialogue even included bariatric surgery for children. So we've come a long way. There's still tons of work to do. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that with platforms like yours and getting the word out to as many people as possible, we can change the national dialogue. So I was talking about the U.S. because obviously I'm based in the U.S., but it's a world problem. It's a North American problem. It's a South American problem. It's a everywhere problem. And so I'm hoping to help sort of change the narrative so that people who suffer from the disease of obesity can get access to comprehensive and compassionate care.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, Dr. Nadler. And I 100% agree with you that obesity is indeed one of the most major concerns that is visible, not only in North America, but also in many other different parts of the world. And childhood obesity is also a very concerning thing at this moment that we are seeing from the current trends. On that note, I wanted to start with you with a question about childhood obesity. So can you kindly explain to our listeners what is childhood obesity and how is it different?
Sure. Obviously, obesity is a disease that people think they can sort of diagnose themselves from just looking at someone or, you know, looking in the mirror, they're talking about themselves. And that's only partially the case because there's actually strict definition for what meets the criteria of the diagnosis of obesity. Mm-hmm. And in adult, it's a BMI over 30. In kids, it has a slightly different definition because we take into account the age of the child, the gender of the child, and then compare it to other children in their same age and gender because children are growing. So it's slightly different than using strict BMI. But what makes childhood obesity really different is that it is what I consider a purer form of the disease, meaning children with obesity haven't been, they haven't been on this earth that long. So it's mm-hmm. limits the degree of sort of environmental impact there is on their disease. They haven't been necessarily around long enough to eat fast food every day for 10 mm-hmm. years or 20 years. And then the coincident with that, or at the same time, not only is it the purest form of the disease, but it's actually a more aggressive form of the disease. So insulin resistance will progress to diabetes more quickly in children than it does in adults. And so it's really a very unique subset of the disease of obesity that requires, in my mind, actually the most aggressive treatment. Because if you're a child with obesity and don't get it treated, you are almost certain to go on to adulthood with that disease. And the damage it does on your organs or your cells is cumulative over time. It's almost like pack years of smoking, not just how heavy you are, it's how long you've been at that weight that really sort of sets you up for metabolic diseases.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nadler, for wonderfully explaining that. And I 100% agree with you that obesity is a condition, but that condition actually leads to many diseases and it can actually be connected. It might be the aggravator for many other conditions as well. I wanted to ask you one thing for out of my curiosity. For when we talk about childhood obesity, we often hear the phrase that obesity can be genetical. It might be like passed down from the family. Is that the case at all?
So yeah, in fact, not only is it the case at all, it's probably the predominant reason why children mm-hmm. get obesity. There's a term that's really not talked about enough in my mind, which is called the intergenerational transmission of obesity. And it's, you know, it's a lot of words, but what it means is that obesity can be passed on from parents to kid. And in fact, studies have shown that about 50% of obesity is inherited. So that means only about 50% is under your control. And I would say in children, it's even less likely that they have 50% of their disease that's under their control. A lot of it is not only the genes that are passed on to you from your mother and father, but also the contribution of the environment as a fetus that you're developing in. So the maternal environment, the maternal health, maternal obesity or maternal diabetes or gestational diabetes really impact the risk of both obesity and diabetes in that unborn child when they're born.
We are talking about childhood obesity. And when we talk about obesity, we understand it can happen at any time, not only at childhood, but also in adulthood as well. But often we take the prism of childhood obesity to actually viewing all obesity and understand what is the best path forward. So I wanted to ask you, why do you think viewing all obesity through the childhood obesity prism is the best path forward?
Yeah, so it goes back to what I was saying before, in that childhood obesity is pure, so we can really investigate the genetic contributions to obesity. And it's also aggressive, so we can measure outcomes of what we do more quickly in children than we can in adults. Most adults who have obesity in the United States, it's about 140 million adults with obesity. Not 140 million children had obesity. So they're about 14 million children who have obesity. So most adults did not have childhood obesity, but their genetic predisposition to the disease and the way what they eat, how much they exercise and, you know, microplastics and forever chemicals and all the other things that are starting to come into play with respect to health, those things in adults have just taken longer to have the impact that they have had in these children.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that, Dr. Nadler. And just a few moments ago, you did mention about intergenerational transmission of obesity. So can I ask you, how will obesity treatment in childhood prevent the intergenerational transmission of obesity?
It's a great question. And it's actually sort of the focus of, it's part of my book, but it's also a big focus in what I'm trying to educate people about, because the obesity epidemic, you know, nothing we've tried has sort of stopped the obesity epidemic. And I think that treating younger patients, children and young adults, for their obesity will be the one thing that we can do that actually changes the trajectory of the obesity epidemic. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is because if you treat, let's say, young women or children, teenagers, for their obesity, when they have kids of their own, they can't do anything about the genes that they have, but now they've optimized that in utero environment. They've optimized what a fetus is seeing when it's developing, which will help. And then the other thing that happens is, you know, most of your dietary behavior is solidified between ages like 5 and 12 or something like that. So if you're a 5-year-old in a household where someone who is on medication or has had surgery to treat their own obesity, and both parents, let's say, or one parent or the other, doesn't matter, the behavior that 5-year-old is being exposed to is much different. It's, you know, small meals, it's focusing on protein, it's staying hydrated. And there's far less likelihood that environment will include, you know, again, ultra processed foods or other unhealthy items on a regular basis.
Okay. Thank you so much for explaining that. And it's very important to understand how to address obesity, because so many people are concerned nowadays with this condition. So do you treat it? Can you cure it? Can you maintain it? So many questions and that needs to be answered. And I think it's very important to understand what is the right course of action for each individual, because each individual's perspective and each individual's situations is different from one another. So it depends on person to person. Can you kindly explain to our audience what is aggressive treatment of obesity and why is aggressive treatment of obesity regardless of age is the only way to curb the obesity epidemic?
Well, first, I want to go back to something that you said, because it's very important, which is every individual has their own perspective on the disease. And also every individual will actually respond to obesity treatment differently. And so I don't, and you also said, I think you said the right path, which I don't like to use that term, because for each person, it's a very individual choice. And I'm not here to mandate people do anything. I'm just here to sort of give the information and present the facts and then help people come to their own decision about, you know, what's best for that. I'm not trying to dictate to anyone that they do any particular intervention. And even the fit at any size or healthy at any size movement, which is somewhat controversial, that also has a role for people who can get their metabolic health improved or under wraps without the more aggressive interventions. But going back to your original question, the reason I believe that the aggressive treatment, which in this case means either medications or surgery or both, is important is one, again, as I mentioned before, that it will help them when they have kids of their own to model appropriate behavior or better or healthy behavior when they have kids of their own. But also the obesity is a chronic disease. And so it's not going away if you don't treat it. And the complications of obesity are most easily reversed the younger you are and the shorter duration you've had the problem. There is really no medical rationale for delaying intervention. Obviously, if people aren't ready for it, when I first started doing bariatric surgery on kids 20 years ago, most of my patients were children whose parents had had bariatric surgery because they sort of understood the safety and efficacy of it. But lots of people, medical community as well, weren't ready to sort of embrace what I was doing. So it took a long time and a lot of publishing my data, a lot of publicizing my data and talking to different physician groups, provider groups, although now I've decided better if I take the message directly to the public, directly to the consumer, as opposed to trying to educate the medical societies. So I just, you know, again, it's just, it's a personal decision. But if it's something you want to address, you need to be able to find the people who are both willing and knowledgeable about how to address it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nadler, for so wonderfully explaining for your rationale, for information purposes, why you think aggressive treatment is the best way to approach obesity. I have a question for you to follow up. Many who suffer from obesity, they usually don't prefer to do surgeries or have invasive procedures on them due to the fear that it might create further complications or they might face critical side effects from that surgery. So I want to ask you for more clarity for my audiences. Do you think bariatric surgery or any other invasive procedures, as we term them as aggressive treatment for obesity, has too many side effects or can create complication for health?
So for sure, any intervention, surgical or medication, can have side effects. The data are that for bariatric surgery or metabolic and bariatric surgery, the complication rates are less than 1%. And in younger patients, those complication rates are even lower. So yeah, for sure they can, but it's not that common. And just like with the advent of the GLP-1 medications like glutide and tirzepatide, just like those medications can cause abdominal pain or other gastrointestinal side effects, surgery can as well. So again, it's not that I'm telling people that you should have surgery. I just want people to actually know the facts, because if you are talking about a surgery that has a complication rate of less than 1%, that's actually lower than a lot of surgeries that people just get without even thinking twice about it. Bariatric surgery and somewhat rightfully so, has had a bad reputation because when it first started, it did have a pretty high complication rate, upwards of 10%. But those numbers have changed drastically over the last basically 35 years since surgery has become more popular.
For sure, for myself, I can relate because I myself have the condition of obesity and it doesn't go away. The difficult thing is it doesn't go away in 1 or 2 days. The dedication that the dieting and the exercise needs is enormous, for sure. You mentioned there is no right or wrong way to do it. It's on individual's choice. I think health comes above everything else. If you really need something to take care of, especially if it's your health, obesity actually leads to a lot of complications. So it's better to do that as soon as possible. On that note, Dr. Nadler, I want to ask you a very general question. Why do we have to care about obesity? Why is it so important?
I could probably talk for hours about that one question. But the reason we should all care about it, well, first of all, you should care about it in the US, if 140 million of your peers or of your community has a disease, you should care about it just as a empathizing human being. But even if you don't care necessarily about people with the disease and their benefit or their suffering, I guess, it is an extremely costly condition. In the United States, it's thought to contribute about $1 trillion towards the healthcare expenditures in our country. I don't know the Canadian data, but I'm sure it's similarly large. There are so many people who are suffering from the disease because we just don't have the bodies that we might need. You know, point is that our workforce is diminished. There have been studies that show that people with obesity, adults with obesity, don't have the same economic productivity. They get passed over for promotions at work. So there are actually lots of non-medical reasons why people should care about this disease. I would prefer that people care about the disease just because we care about our fellow man or woman. But sometimes you have to make arguments that are fiscal to drive the point home.
I fully agree with you, Dr. Nadler. And as you mentioned, you know, like it's never late to think about why the condition is happening and why, how you can take care of yourself. But it's very important to think that if you have it, you need to address it more sooner rather than later. And also you need to think about, as it might be passed on to generation, that you, your family members should not be affected with obesity. It's a very important thing to be reminded of. So whatever ones need to do, they need to take action for sure. Now, sooner rather than later. At this moment, I wanted to share with my audiences that Dr. Nadler will be participating in the Montreal Children's Hospital Interdisciplinary Symposium on Pediatric Obesity Care on Wednesday, May 7th, 2025, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. At Dear Sylvia and Richard Chris Auditorium. So if you are interested to hear the speech of Dr. Nadler, please feel free to check that out.
I just wanted to say that there's also a virtual option. So I believe...
Oh, very convenient.
Yeah, I believe that... I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that QR code that's on the screen there may be how you get the virtual option, but you don't have to... You certainly don't have to attend in person. So, and I certainly invite all the listeners to join in because there will be, well, there's myself and another surgeon from the United States and actually a pediatrician from the United States. Everyone else is Canadian and there's going to be a lot of discussion of what is new and different in Canada with respect to childhood obesity specifically, but also obesity in general. So I think it should be very informative. And frankly, I'm excited to learn from some of my colleagues from the North that I may not have had the chance to learn from before. So it's exciting for me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nadler, for letting our audiences know about that conference. Dear audiences, I also wanted to share with you Dr. Ivan's website, obesityexplained.com. It's a wonderful resource to know about obesity and learn many things about that. I personally got some very helpful information. So I do encourage you to take a look at that as well. The address is www.obesityexplained.com. Apart from that, if you do have any questions for Dr. Nadler, feel free to check out his bio in our Active Action website at activeaction.fm/person/Evan P. Nadler, MD, MBA. There is links for website and other contact information. So if you want to get in touch with Dr. Nadler, please feel free to do that.
Definitely. I encourage people to send me email questions if they have them, because I'm happy to answer as best I can. I also do want to pitch, though, my YouTube channel. Although the same videos or similar videos are on my website as the YouTube channel, I could always use the subscribers on YouTube. So the shameless pitch.
That's wonderful. And I think that the YouTube channel is a wonderful way to spread the message. I appreciate you sharing that. And dear audiences, Dr. Nadler's YouTube channel will be in the description of this YouTube video. So if you do want to check that out, please do and subscribe for more new updates. I really appreciate Dr. Nadler for your time this afternoon with me and my audiences and sharing your wonderful words of wisdom.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And honestly, I'll come back anytime. This is clearly my passion. And I just want people, I just want to be able to help people and really to help people help themselves, because I think there's so much shame and blame in the diagnosis or the disease of obesity, which is really hurtful in many ways. But one of the ways I think it really makes an impact is it discourages people from seeking care because they're afraid of what the providers might say or judge them. So I'm really hoping that by getting the word out, we can make obesity care more accessible for all.
And that is the note I actually want to end this podcast with, how Dr. Nadler said, making the treatment accessible to all. And I really encourage your audiences that if you are indeed suffering from this condition, please feel free to seek out help or options that you would have. It's better to take the action sooner. Thank you so much, Dr. Nadler, again for joining today's podcast. And I really appreciate the best of luck with all your endeavors. I hope to keep in touch and meet with you soon in another episode.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Take care, Dr. Nadler. Dear listeners, we were talking to Dr. Nadler, and we actually got to learn a lot about obesity, especially childhood obesity, and treatments that we can have to support the conditions like obesity. If you did find this episode helpful, let us know, and also feel free to share this with your friends and family. On that note, stay active and take action. I'll meet you all in the next episode. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Oh, one more thing. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Get started for free. Visit our website, activeaction.fm/supporter, for more information. Take care, stay active, and take action.